Let There Be Light. From Flashbangs and Frag Grenades. By Calchexis. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on League of Legends by Riot Games. Chapter 36. Nation. Lux cleared her throat as she stood on a raised dais over a dozen feet high before the crowd of Zonites. The platform had been dragged into place just for that moment, and arrayed before her were thousands upon thousands of her people. She couldn't recall the last time she had really thought of anyone as her people. Demacia didn't count. After all, she was deployed against her own kind so often that after a while it was hard to feel any kinship. Not so with Zaun. These were her wife's people, and therefore hers. She was even dressed like them, in stout linen and sturdy leathers. News of that day's festivities had spread far and wide throughout the city. People from every ward, not just Billowa and Glasgadi, had arrived, and in truth were still arriving. The crowd was growing by the minute, and Lux forced herself to focus on the task and her notes at hand.
"Knock 'em dead, Blondie,"
Jinx said out of the corner of her mouth from Lux's side. "Right," Lux whispered back before returning her attention to the crowd, taking a deep breath and tapping the crystalline magnifier that Victor had provided, sending echoes through the receivers before leaning in, and her breath echoed and reverberated through the tunnels as she began to speak.
"For too long, the place called the Undercity, and later the nation of Zaun, was synonymous with darkness, crime, and sewage. It was a place of waste and forgotten things, where misfit toys were discarded amongst scrap metal and the unloved dead. But over the past year, that's begun to change. It began with the shattering of a dam, and with someone, for the first time in a very long time, putting their foot down and saying no more. No more death, no more tragedy, no more lives lost to the clockwork cruelties of Piltover. Not this time, not today, and not ever again. Today we live!"
Cheers erupted from the massed crowd. Their voices echoed throughout the cyclopean tunnel that extended out behind Jinx. For as many people as there were, the acoustics multiplied that number by an order of magnitude, and Lux had to wait for the roaring to die down before continuing.
"It all began with Jinx."
Lux put her hand on Jinx's shoulder.
"And now it continues with all of you, because today we dedicate the very first piece of major Zaunite infrastructure built without the tight-fisted control of Piltover's council. 2 months ago, we claimed the Eastern Sun Gate from Piltover and opened the doors of Zaun to the nation of Noxus. Our brothers and sisters from the plains are no strangers to tyrants. They toppled their own with the fall of Darkwill. And today they continue that legacy as they help us break the shackles that Piltover has used for generations to keep Zaun oppressed. Without their help, this great work could not have been possible. And so I am proud to open the very first secure highway to link 2 major wards of Zaun. The Great Nox Underpass."
The cheers that followed that declaration made the first round sound anemic. The whole of the tunnel system must have rung with the collective voices of nearly every ward in Zaun. It was a monumental achievement, though. One of the greatest hindrances to Zaun's strength was also one of its greatest strengths, that being the labyrinthine network of tunnels. But as useful as those tunnels were for traveling lightly and quickly, as well as for avoiding pursuers, they were just as useful for the mutants and good old-fashioned street thugs to stage ambushes. What they weren't good for was mass transit, with the tunnels simply not having enough room to allow for groups to travel with the safety of numbers. The Great Nox Underpass changed all of that. Not only was it large enough to permit 100 to travel abreast on foot with ease, as well as allow cab and carriage travel, but the fortifications set in intervals along the tunnel made ambushes all but impossible. For the first time, 2 major wards, Billowa and Glasgadi, could see regular travel. Not only that, but reinforcements could be summoned in a tenth the time it normally took to travel the back roads. In truth, it still wasn't even finished. Better than half the fortifications were still under construction, but that had been planned for. With the approach of the end of Mark Argentia and the onset of winter, the first step on the roadmap was officially complete with the opening of the underpass. Over the course of Mark Umbra, the plan was to complete the fortifications fully. That way Zaun would be stepping into the year 1000 AN, the advent of the millennium, more connected than ever before. The Nox underpass would serve as the template for the other underways that would be built and reinforced in the same manner, connecting Grime Ward with the Argent Ward, which itself would connect to both the Feast Ward and Sidehouse Blade Ward. Across Zaun, Vix's Vice Ward and the Varatza's Verdant Ward would be connected to Smeech's Mech Ward. In the coming years, Zaun would become an underground network the likes of which Runeterra had never seen, and it would all begin with the underpass.
"Our future and the future of Zaun is bright,"
Lux declared, raising a fist into the air.
"And you should all be very proud. No one woman or man can create something this big without people behind them. Piltover gave you all nothing more than scrap metal and chains, and with those you have forged a nation."
More cheers answered her, echoing through the tunnel.
"Together we will win this war. And by the end, I promise you that all of Valoran and all of Runeterra will hear you roar."
Lux wouldn't have been surprised if Piltover had felt that final cheer shake the ground under their boots. The crowd stamped their feet and shook their fists. They shouted and whooped, and a few of them even shot off crude fireworks. As they started to get rowdy, though, Lux raised her hand and snapped a finger, setting out a flash of white light as she did. And the crowd began to simmer down.
"Before we wrap this up,"
Lux continued,
"we have another announcement to make. So please give your attention to a woman you've all come to know very well over the past few months."
She gestured off to the side as Seraphine stood and stepped up next to her. And Lux turned and opened her arms to the younger woman.
"So happy for you,"
Lux whispered as they embraced.
"Thank you," Seraphine whispered gleefully back. "I'm really happy too."
Lux stepped away and took Jinx's hand as Seraphine took the podium stand and leaned in. Once upon a time, she had been a contentious figure in Zaun. Some appreciated her idealism and her desire to bind the two cities together with song, while others saw the fact that she lived in Piltover as a slap in the face. More confusion set in when Seraphine accepted her short-lived career with the League representing Zaun, which had a similar effect on Piltovans. Now, though, she had chosen her side. Seraphine had sided with the place of her birth and with the downtrodden people of Zaun, and had won both hearts and minds with her words, deeds, and song.
"Thank you all for coming,"
Seraphine said warmly.
"A year ago, I barely could have imagined so many of us united under a single cause. It was basically a pipe dream."
Laughter rippled across the crowd in reply, and her smile widened.
"But look at us. Here we are, hand in hand with the rest of the world. And though we have a long fight ahead of us to be free, that doesn't mean we should forget to live."
Seraphine paused as she turned to look back at Renata, who was seated a few feet away with her arms crossed and a wry smile on her face. She was one of the most powerful people in all of Zaun and practically infamous for her pragmatism, so it was almost comical how easily she smiled in the presence of Seraphine. Looking back at the crowd, Seraphine said,
"As some of you know, not long ago, I exchanged a promise with Renata Glask."
She put her hand over the collar of her tunic, where Lux happened to know a ring hung.
"I've never been afraid to tell people what I'm feeling and why, so I'll tell you here and now, without a hint of a lie, that I am in love with her. I love Renata Glask for so many reasons, whether or not the world understands them. I'll fight for those reasons all the same, but just because I'm not afraid to fight doesn't mean I'm not willing to live my life even in the shadow of war. That's why in 1 week, Renata and I will be holding a public wedding in Glaskari Ward. And absolutely all of you are invited. Every inch of the ward is open to you all. There will be food and drink. And I hope you'll join us in celebrating more than just victory and violence. I hope you'll join us in celebrating a life lived loudly and unashamed. Thank you all so much.
if Lux had thought the cheers she'd gotten were loud. Then Seraphine's must have shaken everything all the way to Shurima. Then again, nothing could get Zonite's cheering like the promise of food, drink, and a giant party. That was something that Lux had quickly learned, which was that nobody but nobody could party like a Zonite. With the big speech and bigger announcement out of the way, there was nothing to be done except to open the Great Nox Underpass itself. The portcullis gates that had been at the mouth of Billowa opened with the grinding of enormous gears. The gate was one of seven installed along the length of the underpass to serve as choke points for invaders. They could each be dropped separately or activated to drop in a timed sequence to allow for a fighting retreat from either side. Additionally, there were manual kill switches that could drop the gates immediately to force attacking forces to scatter into the surrounding tunnels, where the natives could pick them off or otherwise stand and fight in a concentrated kill zone. And that was all worst-case scenario, though. For the people of Zaun, the Nox Underpass was a triumph that would allow them to travel their city in safety, with half of the underpass controlled by Billowadi irregulars and the other half manned by Glascotti in an even split. As the gates opened and the first travelers began the journey on foot, Lux sidled up next to Seraphine, who was staring out at the crowds in wonderment, and said, "It's quite a sight, isn't it?"
"It really is," Seraphine said with a broad smile.
"I know that, being from Nemacia, you probably can't appreciate it the way we can, but the sight of a real highway here in Zaun is just..."
She shook her head as she trailed off, then said, "I can't describe it."
Lux nodded at that. It was true, after all. She came from a nation where every city was devised in accordance with the Golden Mean, where cities had been planned out 100 years in advance to negate the rise of slums. Streets and roads crisscrossed the breadth of Demacia, spanning the whole western side of the Valoran. So it was all old hat to her. To a native Zaunite, though, a big wide road like the Nox must have seemed almost alien. She wondered what Jinx must have thought of it, assuming she thought anything at all. Lux looked back and smiled at her wife, who was talking animatedly with Echo, before looking back to Seraphine and saying,
"I'll be honest. The biggest surprise of all was hearing that Renata Glask, of all people, was willing to hold a public ceremony."
Lux nodded toward the older woman.
"She's not exactly sentimental."
"You'd think that, but you'd be wrong," Seraphine said softly as she followed Lux's gaze. "Renata is one of the most sentimental people I'd ever met. She just hides it well." Looking back to Lux, Seraphine's smile became a little sad as she said, "The world she grew up in didn't allow her to show her sentimentality, but that doesn't mean it's not there. And it's one of the reasons I love her."
"Did you know Jinx is actually the same way?"
Lux said with a faint laugh.
"She's surprisingly romantic, too. Just like Renata,"
Seraphine said with a broader smile.
"We really lucked out, didn't we?" Lux said.
"We absolutely did," Seraphine agreed as she turned to take Lux's hand.
"In more ways than one.
And that's why I was hoping I could ask you to be my maid of honor, if that's all right with you." It wasn't often that Lux was struck speechless. Then again, it wasn't often she was asked to participate in someone else's wedding, and not often actually meant never. Nor had she ever imagined she would, but then again, she'd never imagined she'd get married herself, so what did she know? What really struck her dumb wasn't even the idea of doing it, but more the fact that someone liked her enough to ask. Someone who wasn't Jinx, anyway.
"Why me?"
Lux asked after a moment. Seraphine's hands felt strangely small in hers, despite the fact that the girl had the potential to be 5 times the mage that Lux was. There was something about her that made Lux feel the fierce need to protect her. Maybe because she reminded Lux so much of herself.
"Because, as weird as it is to say, you might actually be my best friend," Seraphine said weakly.
Lux gave a brittle laugh.
"Really?
Considering how popular you are, I find that kind of hard to believe."
"I've had a lot of fans, but I've never really had any friends before."
Seraphine's hand tightened around Lux's, and Lux returned the grip.
"Actually, I've never had any friends."
She hung her head as she let out a shaky breath before saying,
Growing up a Zonit in Piltover meant that everyone always looked down on me. That's what drove me to Zon and made me want to help. But the thing about being able to hear people's hearts is that you can hear it every time that someone means well and just fails. I don't know if it matters to you, but that happens more than you'd think. Honestly, it doesn't really matter to me, but I don't have to hear it every time it happens, do I? Luck said wanly. Seraphine made an ungraceful snort as she nodded, then said, "So yeah, I began to sing. I learned to spill my voice out into the rest of the world. And I found that when I sang just right for a little while, everyone around me would be singing together. Piltoven and Zonet, rich and poor. And they would all sing together." She looked up and into Lux's eyes with a sad smile. "But through it all, I never made any friends. It's hard to make friends who don't lie to you, you know." That, at least, Lux knew all too well. Her whole life had been about lying, about masks. And it was only with Jinx that Lux had realized how many masks she was wearing and how much she'd hated them. And Lux finally grasped what it was that drew her to Seraphine. It wasn't just that Lux saw herself in the girl, it was that she wanted to protect her. In a way, it felt like she was reaching into the past toward that little girl curled up in a cell in the training convent of the Radiant. "I do know," Lux said finally. "And I would be honored to stand beside you on your wedding day, Sarah." Seraphine threw her arms around Lux's shoulders and hugged her for all she was worth. And Lux returned the hug fiercely. Seraphine wasn't all that much younger than her, maybe 5 or 6 years on the outside. The contrast was in their idealism, or more accurately, in Lux's lack of it. Seraphine still believed in a better world, whereas Lux was willing to settle for any world so long as that world allowed her to keep Jinx. Drawing away, Lux smiled down at Seraphine and felt a rare pang of envy that was smoothed a moment later by the affection that followed. "I'm glad you're here, Sarah. I truly am," she said warmly. "That's sweet, but..." Seraphine looked pensive for a moment before saying, "Why? I don't really do that much. It's not about what you do." Lux took her by the shoulders and squeezed. "It's about who you are and who you remind us to be." "I couldn't have said it better myself," Renata's voice interjected, and Lux looked up to find the older woman towering over them both. "My Sarah is the best of us," she said. Lux stepped back and allowed Renata to reclaim her wife as she said, "For certain definitions of best, I suppose." "Agree to disagree," Renata replied with a thin smirk. "Lux, be nice," Seraphine chided. "And you?" Seraphine went up on her toes to kiss Renata's cheek. "Behave." Renata's expression didn't change, but there was a softening to her that Lux couldn't put a finger on the source of as she said, "I will do no such thing, kitten." Despite their differences, Lux found that she genuinely liked Renata Glask, if for completely different reasons from Seraphine. Regardless, she was happy that they had found each other. She was happy that something had come from all the trouble of the war. If Lux had been able to simply murder her way to her happy ending, she would have done it, but alas, there were only so many corpses a single woman could make in a week. "Stay safe, Sarah," Lux said as she took her hand to give it a friendly squeeze before looking up at Renata and saying, "Not that she needs to worry about that, right?" "Indeed," Renata replied flatly. If there was one thing Lux could count on, it was Renata's protective streak. Especially when it came to Seraphine Arctura. Leaving the stage, she passed Jinx, kissed her on the cheek, and said, "I'm going downstairs to speak with Victor." Jinx raised an eyebrow, then smiled back.
"Sure thing, Blondie."
Taking the stairs two at a time, Lux made her way underneath the dais that had been built and dragged into place for the purposes of the speech. It had been more than a bit of a pain in the ass, but the spectacle had been worth it. The people of Zon were badly in need of a morale boost with all the fighting happening at the doorstep. and it was a small price to pay. Besides, it did the people good to see all the movers and shakers of Zaun in one place. Victor?
Here.
The familiar voice came from somewhere deeper in, and Lux followed until she found the machine herald of Zaun crouched over a box of fuses, glowering at them in disapproval. Having fun?
Yes, actually,
Victor replied as he sifted through the box.
I had forgotten the little joys of doing stage work. I haven't done anything like this since I left the academy.
Lux hummed thoughtfully as she sat down beside him. The speaker setup was ingenious, by the way, she said. Where did he get the crystal wafers?
I repurposed an old project,
Victor said, still fusing with his fuses.
It was a mass-scale sonic disruptor based on the tunnel crack principle, but writ large,
he explained.
But the power draw requirements were too high to achieve the proper decibel range.
Speaking of projects, any progress on the Petrosite? Lux asked. Victor sighed and pushed the box away.
No, unfortunately,
he said as he clasped his hands together to rest his chin on his knuckles. It gave him a curiously hunched appearance like an old turtle.
Whoever created the base material of Petrosite was unbelievably powerful. If I had to guess, I would say it was probably the result of a spell cast during the Rune Wars, and so any attempt to introduce a change to the substance would require a similar scale of power.
Power that we don't have, Lux said before sighing and looking hard at Victor. Then tell me your opinion as one of the foremost minds in the field of arcane theory. Given what you know and what you've learned about the substance, do you think it's possible to negate the effects of Petrosite? Victor seemed to chew on that question for several moments before closing his eyes, breathing out and saying,
in the theoretical, yes. Given sufficient power and focus, anything is possible.
And the practical? Lux asked.
No,
Victor replied.
This is beyond my abilities.
He looked up at her with an apologetic grimace.
I am many things, Luxana, but even I am not powerful enough to change something that was altered by the world runes.
Shit. Lux slumped back against one of the girders supporting the dais. And we're stuck fighting Knights of Demacia and augmented clan killers, all of whom can shrug off magic like water for the foreseeable future?
So it would seem,
Victor replied grimly. That put an ugly pit in the bottom of Lux's stomach. She had been hoping beyond hope that if they held out long enough, Victor would be able to create something that they could use to negate the strongest advantage. It had been something she'd been clinging to, but it was also something that only a handful of people knew that Victor was working on. Not even the Council of Chem Barons knew the details. Only Renata, Jinx, Echo, and Seraphine, along with a few others, knew that he was working on it. Part of the reason for that secrecy had been pragmatism. The fewer people who knew, the less chance there was of a leak. The rest of it had been out of a desire not to give false hope, though. It would have been cruel to offer the whole of Zaun a promise only to fail to deliver, especially for something of this scale. That didn't mean it didn't sting, though. I guess that means we're winning this war the old-fashioned way, huh? Lux muttered.
I'm sorry,
Victor said. Lux shook her head as she slouched companionably against his shoulder. It's not your fault that I asked you to do the impossible. Victor chuckled at that, and the mechanical burr of his voice mangled the sound more than usual as he said,
it would not be the first time I did the impossible, in all fairness.
That much was true. Victor was a sterling example of the kind of genius that was criminally stifled by the abuses of Piltover, another obviously being Jinx. Technically, Singed counted too, but Lux was on the fence as to whether or not that particular brand of genius ought to have been extra stifled or not. It wasn't that she disliked the man, he had saved Jinx's life after all, but Singed was Singed. Not to put you on the rack, but have you managed to discover anything about our biggest short-term problem? Lux ventured.
I presume you mean the blackguards?
Victor asked, and Lux nodded. He stood to his full height, which was, as always, a bit shorter than everyone expected for someone called the Machine Herald, and said,
I did, in fact. I learned a number of things, and many of them were troubling.
Lux stood with him and crossed her arms. How so?
Victor hesitated for a moment, which was never a good sign. When he did speak, it was slowly, as if he were carefully choosing his words.
The blackguards should not exist,
he began.
And I mean that literally. I have studied their implants and augments extensively, and I can say without reserve that the surgical process of creating them would not work.
Lux made to speak, but he held up a forestalling hand.
And I'm not talking about the statistically impossible rate of success, a 99.9% attrition, for instance. I mean, impossible.
But with Hextech...
Hextech is not the problem,
Victor said over her.
The problem is the organic component.
He gestured to his own face, which was some of the only flesh he had left.
The trauma that these surgical procedures would inflict would result in massive organ failure from shock. It is a simple biological limitation.
That sounded accurate. From what Lux had seen of them and of their leader, Ren Gleamspire, the surgical augmentations alone had seemed impossibly staggering. However, given the wonders she had witnessed both above and below, Lux had assumed there must have been some trick to it. So how? Lux asked. Give me an explanation. Victor sighed as he began fishing around in his cloak.
I had the same reaction, so I looked deeper. And I almost missed it simply because I wasn't looking for it.
For what?
This.
Victor held up a small, fist-sized implant with tubes spooling out of it. And some kind of gyroscope in the middle that was fitted with a chamber for what was probably some kind of liquid. Taking it from him, Lux turned it over with a frown. I don't understand, she said quietly. This doesn't look like Hextech.
That's because it isn't,
Victor said in a low, dark tone.
That little bauble of an implant is the godfather of Chemtech.
Chemtech, Lux hissed, looking up at him as the pieces suddenly clicked together. It explained everything. It explained their durability, their unnatural strength, and their speed. It explained how they could survive the implantation process, too.
You mean...
They're not just augmented,
Victor said.
They're chem-hanced. This...
He held up the implant.
Is a regulator that used to be implanted in prisoners to improve their stamina and strength for work shifts in the penal mines back before Zon rebelled. And the theories behind it formed the foundation of Chemtech.
Used to be? Lux asked. Victor nodded.
They were designed and created in the Undercity, so when Zon rebelled, the designs and the mechanisms were lost to Piltover. But with them and the proper chemical cocktails, they could enhance their subjects enough to make surviving those implants possible.
He held a finger sharply.
Possible,
he repeated.
But not likely.
How would they have even gotten their hands on something like this? Lux asked, her eyes narrowing. Were we betrayed? Did someone sell the design to Piltover? It wasn't impossible. Zon was far from completely united. If someone had betrayed the Chem Barons, then Renata would be able to dig them up, and once she did, Lux would find them and she would end them. Except Victor shook his head.
There is no one who could have known about this.
He shook the small device.
They haven't been made in half a century, at least. I only recognized it because when I was very small, I lived near one of the penal mines where the fumes were quite bad,
he said.
I recognized it because I've seen them before.
Lux paced back and forth for several moments before finally asking, then how? How did they get the design? Victor sighed again and more heavily before saying,
I have a theory, but you're not going to like it.
A chill went down Lux's spine as he said those words. The tone of voice he took was of a haunted man. And it was a tone she had never heard him take. Not that it mattered. All right, Lux said. What's your theory?
The text of this story is available on AO3. Music by Dot Matrix. If you would like me to record a story, voice over a character, get in touch using the contact information available on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find other stories that I've read, as well as a link to my Discord server. where I record things live for your enjoyment. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.